Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, welcome to the Birth to Life radio show this evening. Thank you all for tuning in. We are featured on We Talk Productions. My name again is April Jones. I'm your host for this evening. I wanted to say as the evening is going on, you know, teachers, celebrate yourself this week. If you had a great week, give yourself on a pat on the back. If you had a tough week, give yourself a pat on the back and try to refresh for the weekend. Thank you all for downloading the show. Thank you so much for downloading the show. Thank you for all the support. You know, it's the fall season. It's the fall season. This is one of the most wonderful times of the year. So I want to highlight some things. The Birth Through Life show is a show dedicated to birth through five early education in our field. I've been in the field for 15 years and counting. So I am a full-time inclusion teacher. I teach toddlers, twos, that's turning three. So my days are busy every single day that I'm at school. I work an 8 to 9 hour day. So, yes, that is my life right now. I'm very excited about this evening's show because I wanted to talk about being a professionalist and be through five. What does that mean? Remember the call-in number, if you would like to comment, a call-in, 965-9215. Again, 909-265-215. Okay, so being a professional in the birth through five field. Now, what I've noticed is, depending on where you are in the birth through five field, if you start out your first year, second year, but this is more, this topic is a little bit more catered to my veterans a little bit. If you've been in 5+ years, 10 plus years, 15 plus years, 20 plus years, you know, sometimes the routine of being a teacher can get a little boring, a little redundant. And as educators, we are talented people. I had a very interesting conversation this week, very interesting conversation. I never knew that I wanted to have my own blog talk radio, but my boyfriend introduced me to the blog talk venture, and I've always wanted to be an entrepreneur. Even though I was an educator, I always wanted to be an entrepreneur in some form or fashion. So I'm glad for this platform. But something very interesting happened this week. One of the teachers that worked with me, she just asked me, she said, you know, you're a wonderful mentor to me. You're very talented, very educated. You're smart. Why stay in this field? How long you've been staying in this field? And why don't you capitalize on more opportunities? So, in this point in my life, it was very interesting to me. And one of the things I know about myself is, you know, I love teaching, but I love doing other things as well. But I want to bring more opportunity to myself and Birth Through Five. So tomorrow, actually, I've been looking at some things, just trying to market myself, get myself more out there about the knowledge and wisdom that I have. And I'm one of those ones that I love to not only give knowledge and wisdom to the things that I have been through in the field, but also capitalize or also access resources for myself and other people. anytime I access a resource that I feel that will be beneficial to that person in their life, is I always try to make sure that I pass that knowledge along as well. So just recently, some months back, Gears in Atlanta, Georgia, it's a Birth Through Five organization. They were looking for early care ambassadors. Excuse me. So as an early care ambassador, there was an application that they was filling out, but they're trying to get more knowledge out there about pre-K and just Birth Through Five as a whole. So I will be starting that program and that process tomorrow at 10 a.m., and I will let you guys know about my experience. So, you know, yes, I do want to be a person that wants to write books. I would love to travel and have some trainings. I'll possibly be a speaker at conferences like NACI, any Birth Through Five education conferences. So one of the things when I look at the field, I believe that as early educators, you meet many different types of people. Some people are just passing through in this field because they realize that, you know, I don't necessarily want to do this type of work for the rest of my life. And that's unfortunate that sometimes we do have people that is not as passionate about the field. Some of them look at it like, okay, I can work during the day. I can be home before 7 o'clock because most childcare centers close at 6:30. Some is late at 7. I did work at a childcare center where it closes late at 7, and I can tell you I was exhausted. I probably would never do that again. And there, you don't work on weekends, so some individuals out there look at it from that perspective. But I've been one of those ones no matter what field that I have worked in, and since I have been in the Birth Through Five field for most of my adult life, I will say that I always wanted to be a professional, like a true professional. So I put being a professionalist. So making yourself stand out, making yourself be looked at as professional, because unfortunately, Birth Through Five is not always looked at as a professional field. That's why we have more initiatives and more organizations and more of a push to push more professionalism in the field. However, as we push more professionalism when it comes to educators, directors, putting these quality initiatives in these childcare centers, we cannot leave out teachers. We cannot leave out teachers, okay? So it's great that we have all of these initiatives and things, but we need to also look at teachers as well, and you have to look at them holistically. So one of the things I want to touch on is something, even if you're in a Birth Through Five program, early education program, being a professional, being a professionalist. Okay, number one, make sure that even as a veteran teacher, even as a new teacher, that you're reading up on your material. This is something that I have done. I'll go back and I'll read some articles. This is what a true professional is going to do, especially if you get in a place where you're in a stumbling block as to like some new things that you want to bring to your classroom and some new things that you even want to bring to your coaching as well. So read articles. Another thing is being a part of a membership. You never know, like, how you could network just being a part of a membership. I know that I have a Georgia Pre-K background, so I was a Georgia Pre-K teacher for 8 years. However, when I entered into the toddler classroom, the younger toddler classroom, what happened was my director, some things had transpired in the classroom, and I became a lead teacher in the middle of the year in a younger toddler classroom. Never worked with younger toddlers, never had a desire to. So, however, that was a shock to me, like a cultural shock almost, that I had to go through. So I never worked with young toddlers. So what I decided to do is become a 0-3 member. I became a 0-3 member. And that helped me tremendously because, number one, 0-3 is an organization where they give information for parents, teachers. They touch a lot about brain development resources. They text resources. And that really helped me because it really helped me to learn about the toddler stage where they are in their brain development. And that was a very, very resourceful tool for me. And it helped me along the way as well. They didn't necessarily focus on like lesson planning and things like that, but just reading some of those articles, I had access to an abundance of articles. I paid like $50 for the annual membership. I'm not a member anymore, but I paid $50 for the annual membership. And a lot of those resources that I began to read about and began to have access to, a lot of times when I did my weekly emails for parents, I put all of their information in there or whatever. So if they have an abundance, anything that you can think of for the younger toddler. So the younger toddler age group was like 1.5 turning to, young ones turning to. So anything from introducing potty training, anything from temper tantrums, all of those things, that helped me along the way. So also being a part of a membership, NACI, your local organizations, you know, just make sure that you are being a part of a membership not only help you cultivate and strengthen you as a teacher learning different skills, but they tell you about different conferences and events, and you can also network with another teacher because, as you know, like teachers need other teachers. I say that all the time. Teachers need other teachers, okay? And a lot of my focus is on teachers, but, you know, directors, professors, college birth through five students, you can take this information as wisdom, and you can not only apply it in your life, but if you're not necessarily a teacher, maybe you can relay this information to someone else, okay? Another thing, too, is also, you know, you're doing your reading, you're having your membership as well, but also making sure that you are up to date on your training. Go to training as much as possible. I know when I was teaching at a university child development center, I went to an abundance of training. They really believe in their teachers going to trainings. And some of those trainings were very life-changing for me. Reading the latest research, mentoring other teachers, like collaborating with other teachers. And, you know, sometimes when we get together as other teachers and we are in a dilemma when it comes to, like, anything in our field, other teachers can really give you some insight on how to navigate in your field. So, yes, just and number one, I might have probably should have said this number one, but take this as your as a serious profession. You are a professional in this field. You are a professional in this field, and when you carry yourself like a professional, when you look like a professional, when you speak like a professional, other people will give you that respect, even if you have to be a professional to someone else. Like, there have been times where I've had to model professionalism for, like, remember, I've worked in like 5 or 6 childcare centers. I've had to be more of a professional modeling that for a director, per se. You know, some directors do not have an early care education background. Some of them are not interested. Unfortunately, we do have some directors are just in it for the money, and that's very unfortunate. Please remember to call in 909-265-9215, 909-265-9215. So, you know, we as teachers, we have a great responsibility. We have a great impact on people, whether we realize it or not, okay? So, yes. You know, there'll be times where you do have to educate, you know, other people about your profession. But remember, this is a profession. You know, when some people, you know, tell me, oh, you work in a daycare, you know, in casual conversation, I'll tell them, no, I work in a child development center. There is a difference between working in a child development center and working in a daycare. To me, I have worked in child care centers and I have worked in daycare centers. Number one, the daycare centers that I have worked in, they have been probably owned. Some of them, we coined the phrase mom and pop, quote unquote, you know. But I will say that I did not have pleasant experiences working in those type of centers. Number one, I noticed that they did not necessarily strive for NACE accreditation. And sometimes they would say, oh, it's too expensive and this, that, and the other. But, you know, a lot of these daycare centers, are making millions of dollars, hundreds of thousands of dollars. And I know that you go into business to be lucrative and to be successful, but we cannot leave the educators out there. When I started out in the field, I was making $6 an hour, no benefits, no health insurance, no anything. Isn't that appalling? And when I left that center, I was only making like $7.25 an hour. Meanwhile, thousands of dollars are coming in. Oh, we can't afford it. We can't afford it. We can't afford supplies. We can't afford this. We can't afford that. But this center is making like $2 million a year. Come on, people. We have to make sure that if you want professionals in your child care centers or even in your daycare centers, you have to give them resources and resources to treat them as professionals. Make sure that you're giving them awesome training. Sign them up for awesome training. If you honestly can't afford it, if you're like a in-home daycare or you have a small center and you're just starting out, see what scholarships are out there that's available. A lot of times when I'm looking at NACE or looking at different trainings, they even have scholarships. Some Pro Solutions have a couple trainings where you can do it online, like mandatory teachers trainings. Some of those trainings are free. You know, so really try to, if you want professionals in your childcare or even in your daycare centers, try to treat them as professionals. You know, try to really look at that too. And I'm going to have another show about, you know, early care education teachers facing homelessness. Because can you imagine, even in this climate, that we have teachers that are working 40 hours a week, some of them even working up to 50 hours a week with their 30-minute break, no sick days, no holiday time, working year-round, working around the clock, and they do not have any health care insurance. Their daycare owners are not even interested in them becoming professionals enough to where they get trainings. I remember where I was at a daycare center, and I was making like $6.30 an hour or something, you know, very, very low wage. And we had training, and the owners made us pay for our own training that was required for the state. Because in my state, you have to have at least 10 hours of training. And I thought that was so crazy. And it was so many teachers that were struggling. They had their families and different things. And of course, the turnover was high because some people couldn't even afford to get the work. So, you know, I'm challenging you. I'm challenging you all, your daycare owners and your directors to really try to, if you want professionals in your centers, try to be professional yourself. Try to, the same education that you want your teachers, try to get that education yourself. Be a professionalist in your education. Even though you're not a teacher in your center, research, become a member. Go to conferences, you know, and also if you have anything old in your center, throw that mess out of there. Throw it out. You know, nothing inspires and nothing motivates a teacher like having new materials to work with, especially if you have teachers that are using their own money. Can you believe it or not that even during that time I was using my own money, you know, and I really could not afford to, which is a travesty. We should not be requiring our early care educators to use their own money to outfit classrooms, especially when we have in some centers, especially where you have deposits being made, this parent, you need to pay this amount of money for supply deposit for the school year, this, that, and other. We have to become better. We have to do better. And people will respect us more if we are more professionalist and being more professional in our field. We have to. You know, look at the shirts that you're requiring your teachers to wear. Look at the pants that you're requiring your teachers to wear. Look at it. When you go to, if you're gearing up for the school year or whatever, and if you really want to market your center, look at what they are wearing and see as a owner or director, like, man, does this really represent being a professional in the early care education field? And believe it or not, all of these things that I'm telling you will separate you, especially if you're trying to be the best center in your area, or you're trying to bring the best teachers, or you're trying to be the best teachers. People will notice that you will carry that era. You know, no, I'm not saying necessarily wear high heel shoes or anything like that, but we have to really look at our field, and we have to really look at how we conduct ourselves as professionals. You know, when you look at Fortune 500 companies, they look at things like that. They look at how you market. They look at what language you're speaking. They look at what the customer wants. They look at everything. They look at the building. They look at the layout. They look at the marketing. They look at the materials. They look at all of those different things to see what can separate us from our competition, what can make us better than our competition. And as a community, we need to be looked at upon as birth to through five, especially with us educating children and them, their brains being developed by, age three, 90%, and parents spending their hard work and money to make sure that, you know, their children are being educated. It has to start with us first. It has to start somewhere. And no, it is not easy, but start somewhere. You know, the great thing is that we live in the technology age. There's so many abundance of resources out there. Like I mentioned before, there are scholarships for trainings. There are online trainings as well. You know, you could go somewhere where they make, you know, shirts for your company. Oh, I have this many teachers. How big of a discount can you give me? Or as a mentor, as a person that's really looked at as a professional in the field, and see if you can have coffee with them, if you can have lunch with them one day, or even dinner with them. Invite them to your center. These are the steps that a real professional makes in this field if they want to transform into being a top professional, being a professionalist. How you carry yourself, how you communicate with the parents. And I'm telling you, it is sometimes we are in some very difficult situations where we have to be the ultimate professional with a person that is not the professional. And also too, and it also starts in your interviewing process. Ask that teacher, are you willing to go to trainings that require more than the 10 hours? You know, are you willing to come back and possibly share this information? Are you willing to travel? Are you willing to go to school? Maybe I can give you some resources that will help you to go to school. www.decalscholars.org/com, I believe, Decal Scholars through Right From The Start Early Care Education Agency. They have, you know, scholarships there. You know, look at that. If you're a director and you say, oh, I want teachers to be more educated and this, that, and the other, number one, acquire that education for yourself. Two, if you have a CDA, get an associate's. If you have an associate's, try to get a bachelor's. If you have a, this is for my directors, this portion right here, because most of the time, you know, they require to teach. For teachers have an abundance of education, but we don't really talk about how directors need to be educated as well in birth through five, have child development courses. And it makes a difference because, like I mentioned before, I used to work at a daycare center, and nobody in administration had a background in education. They had never been a teacher. They had never went to school for education. Not only did they've never been a teacher, they never been to school for education. And I'm not saying that people that have never been to school for education or have never been a teacher cannot be advocates for the field. That's not what I'm saying, but it is important because I will tell you, I have noticed the difference. I have noticed the bite when people buy in to really birth through five being their passion. But there is a difference when it comes to passion. There's a difference when you're conducting yourself as a meeting and you are taught, yes, you have to cover housekeeping things, but when you're covering meetings, see how innovative your center can be. See how innovative your center can be. And that will groom people to be more professionals, and it will translate early care educators being more professionalists in the birth through five field. It will. And then you never know, you having a center where you have directors that are passionate about birth through five, not only for my owners, not only are you trying to be successful, but you are passionate about your teachers. Yeah, you're passionate about children, but the teachers are the one that's ensuring that the children are taken care of. This might be a little controversial, but people don't necessarily bring children to a school because of the directors and the principals. They play a vital role, too, to make sure things are functioning, things are in place. But really, people bring people to the school, your children to school, because of the teachers. Oh, I heard this teacher, she teaches really good right here. She does innovative things. I would love for my son to go here, my daughter to go here. Oh, they have a wonderful program, and she does this type of program every year, and she does these things in her classrooms, and my child really learned. Yes, we have to be more accountable for our profession, okay? So the last 2 minutes or so, I wanted to cover highlight some resources for my professionals in birth through five, especially my teachers. And I wanted to go over a couple things. So, yes, in the title, I'll put Learning About Home Ownership and Lifestyle Additions. This weekend in Atlanta, I've been following this movement for a while. It's called the Tiny House Movement. And the Tiny House Movement is where people build homes generally under 1,000 feet. Most of the homes are kind of built under 500 feet. Most popular homes are built from 200 to 400 feet. And the Tiny House Movement is about affordable housing, a person that wants to get out of debt, a person that wants to remain debt-free, and some of the houses are stationary and some of the houses are on wheels. So I will be in, I plan to go to be in Decatur this weekend to look at the tiny homes. All right. I think the weekend pass is like $40, $35, $40, and a day pass is like $20. It's supposed to be over 20 homes featured, and it's supposed to be a great thing as well. So hopefully I see you there. Another thing is the Georgia Dream Program. The Georgia Dream Program is a program where educators can, if you are an educator, it's a program where you can obtain ownership. You have to have a certain credit score, and it helps you with the down payment and things. It's for educators. So check out the Georgia Dream Program. And my last resource is highlighting East Tennessee State University. East Tennessee State University, they have a BS in early childhood development from pre-K to third grade. They have a licensure and a non-licensure concentration, a master's in early childhood education, master's teacher program, and an MA in early childhood education research program, a PhD in early childhood education as well. So Johnson City, Tennessee, East Tennessee State University has that program. Again, thank you for tuning in to We Talk Productions. I am April Jones, Birth to Life professional that's here to educate you all about birth through five, child development, lifestyle additions to your life. Again, thank you for tuning in. Thank you.